Good morning. This is day two of the Just Let Go campaign, and this particular post is going to be audio only and is going to fall under a new series that I'm beginning with this post called The Top Five. Top five, just as it sounds. Each time that I do something in this series, whether it's on camera or just with the audio, it will be the top five of something. So today, in honor of my dad, since it is Father's Day, I am doing my top five best memories with my dad. So, number one, and a lot of them are general. Let me see. Yeah, pretty much a lot of them are general with the exception of one. So one, memories of the Eastern Market down in downtown Detroit. And when we lived in Detroit, we went to the Eastern Market every weekend in the summer. It's, you know, it's this open air, fresh market, fresh produce and plants. And I mean, just, I still, when I go home, for sure, if it's in the summertime, I go down to the Eastern Market with my dad. I mean, it's one of the top memories. And, you know, we used to have to hang on to his back pocket because, of course, we were kids, but we're also kind of midget kids. So we would easily get lost in the summer crowds. And Jeff and I, my next brother behind me, we would have to hold each side of dad's pockets to not lose him in the crowd. And it was like that every weekend, and it was awesome. So that's memory number five. Memory number four would have to be, this is a specific, but then I'm going to explain it more generally. The first time I beat him playing racquetball. So when we started spending weekends with dad after the first divorce, one of the things that, you know, he kind of had to get a little bit more creative, right? Because we actually saw my dad a ton more when they got the divorce. So that wasn't what disrupted anything. That was cool. We were great with all of that. And, He had to get a little bit more creative with how to spend time with us. So we started going up to Schoolcraft College, and he and I would play racquetball. And of course, he was a lot younger and in shape then, but I was still, you know, pretty young. Like, I want to say the time I beat him, when I was 11 or 12. I don't remember exactly, but I want to say I was 11. And the look on his face when I actually beat him, you know, it takes, it takes a lot to impress anybody in my family, my immediate family and my extended family, because we're just, when I say I come from the most ridiculously gifted, talented, brilliant, unbelievably, like, my family is just incredible. And so when you're kind of around that many high caliber people, everyone just kind of takes all of our gifts for granted, really and truly, is kind of what I'm discovering. So, yeah, you didn't see that you impressed anybody very much. It which was great, right? Because that had tremendous. It caused us to have great humility, which is wonderful. But the look on his face when I actually beat him that first time was one of kind of awe, and it was like I knew he was impressed, and it mattered. It made me feel really pretty awesome, even though he didn't say anything directly. His look and his. It said it all. And then I was going to, you know, basically, that was the one area in my life that dad would allow himself just a little bit to be that proud parent at hotel family picnics. You know, I'm sneaking in a second memory with this. I don't care. So at hotel family picnics, you know, he was in the hotel business, and he loved his work, and dad was like in his total domain at work, and everybody that's ever worked with my dad loves working with him. He's incredible to work with. He's an amazing teacher. He'll, you know, he wants you to understand what you're doing to empower you. And so he was really comfortable with his hotel colleagues, and at the family, they would have the hotel family picnic, you know, in the summertime, and dad just couldn't resist. And again, he's not the one that'd be bragging about his kids. He isn't, but he couldn't resist because all three of us, my dad would throw the highest pop fly balls, the highest, man. He got them so far up there, and my two brothers and I would catch those things like it was nothing. And you know, they call us the one size family because we pretty much are. We were all these just little kids, including my lefty youngest brother. He'd be out there, you know, all left-handed at like 4 years old, catching these pop-ups with his older brother and his older sister. And I mean, needless to say, it totally you know, enhanced our baseball capabilities. But it was, again, you know, as a kid, I think you like to feel like you're making your parents proud. You like to know that, you know, and there's a balance between pumping your kid full of garbage and making his head big and creating a cocky, you know, monster, and truly letting your kids know how much they mean. And so that meant a lot when he would kind of use our athletic gifts to kind of show us off just by plain showing, you know, like, look, folks, I'm not usually one to brag about my kids, but it is kind of impressive what these little tykes can do. And it kind of was. So, okay, that was a very long memory four. Memory three were just generally weekends with him. Again, we saw my dad more after the divorce. So weekends, we would either spend it at his little place and we'd play Tripoli. And that's when we first learned how to play poker. We'd play backgammon. I mean, it was just, we'd go play racquetball. It was just really enjoyable. And a lot of times we would go to the hotel where we were treated like kings and queens, man. I mean, we would go into the restaurants and we would get to eat whatever we wanted off the menu, and everybody, you know, knew and loved my dad. So automatically that love transferred to us. So we just got lots of love. So weekends for dad were really enjoyable. Pretty much all the way through middle school. And then obviously high school, you know, I got way too old for that pretty quickly. But, so weekends with dad, in general, best memory number three. Best memory number two. So I have to admit that I did not even know this till last summer. I used to think it was opening day of the Tigers. Every spring, we would go to what I thought was opening day of the Tigers, and it didn't matter if we, of course it was during the school day almost always, so mom was livid that dad took us out of school, but we went no matter what. But somehow it eluded me that it was not actually opening day that we went to. My father, being the, well, let's just call it frugal, you know, accountant that he is, opening days too expensive. We went to second day, the second grand opening of the season, every year with the Detroit Tigers. And it was just an experience. I mean, I was such this little town boy when I first moved to the suburbs of Detroit. I didn't care if there was snow on the ground. On the first day of spring training, I had my Detroit Tiger hard hat. I took my mitt. I had my bat because we were playing baseball on recess. We were the Branstoner Tigers, man. We were playing baseball at the beginning of spring training. I was a complete Detroit Tiger fan. I can still name you all of the starting Tigers on the 1984 World Championship team. In fact, just for shits and giggles, I'm going to go ahead and do that. So let's see. Let me think. Well, you probably had to have Jack Morris on the mound, right? He'd have to be pitching because they started 34-3 that season, if I remember. And I don't know Jack Morris. I'm sure he was a Cy Young. He had to have been. Willie Hernandez, you know, he had a tremendous amount of saves, so he might have gotten an award too, but Jack Morris would be starting. So Jack Morris is on the mound. I forget the order on how they, actually the pitcher's always last, right? Well, so the order doesn't matter. Behind the plate would have been Lance Parrish, my first crush. Man, he wore number 13, and for a while, number 13 was my number. It only lasted because, well, then Pele for number 10 took over, and then I got to meet and play with Joe Dumars, and from that point on, number 4 has just been with me in my heart and soul. So, Lance Parrish, number 13, behind the plate. First base, probably Darrell Evans, you know, lefty Darrell Evans, although he played catcher, backup catcher, and so probably Darrell Evans at first base. Of course, Sweet Lou Winokur at second base. Alan Trammell, how can you forget Tram and Lou? Tram's at shortstop. Third base would have been, well, that Tommy Brookins, Howard Johnson, who started? I think Hojo started, but Tommy Brookins sometimes, you know, got the call to play third base as well. So we'll go with Howard Johnson. Then you had Larry Herndon over there in left field. In fact, Larry Herndon made the final catch, the final out to win the series against the San Diego Padres. Then you had Chet Lemon, who had the most unique catch in all of baseball in the 80s. Chet Lemon in center field. And then, of course, hottie Kirk Gibson in right field, although kind of a jerk because one of the things we would do after the game is we would go and wait outside the locker room for them to come out to try to get autographs. I mean, we did the whole thing. We were down there for a batting practice, so we would get some autographs in batting practice, and then we would stay afterwards to see if we could get autographs outside the locker room. And one time, Kirk Gibson came out looking all cute as can be, all showered and slicked back, and I asked him for an autograph, and he actually kind of said no. He said no. How do you say no to, like, a 9-year-old girl looking at you with these goo-goo eyes, you know, her little tomboy self? Well, he did. So, either case, he was over there in right field until he went to the Dodgers a couple years later and then hit the notorious, you know, home run on the broken knee. So, okay, yeah, second day of the Tigers season with Dad. Memory number two. And the top memory, again, so, my dad's least favorite sport watching me growing up was soccer. He hated it. And soccer was my favorite sport. And the one, I mean, if I thought, no, I never thought I'd play anything in college, but soccer was my favorite sport going into high school. And that was due in great, great part due to an amazing program I was part of, the Plymouth Lightning, with Frank Carey, Joe Barbario, Coach Goff, I forget her first name, Coach Goff, I mean, I had the best coaches as a kid, and the girls I played with, I was one of the younger ones, so I admired the hell out of these girls, and they were so good, and so that was a big reason why soccer was my favorite up until I got to high school. But Dad did not enjoy me playing soccer, and he was even more upset. In fact, I think that might have been the first time I broke his heart, was when I chose to play soccer in high school over softball, because my natural sport is probably baseball. In fact, my middle school coach, Mark LaPointe, he wanted me to play on the men's baseball team in high school over the girls' softball team, and hello, I was already on the soccer team. I'm like, are you trying to ruin my life? You're going to put me on a guy's team? He already did it when I was in middle school. He had me show up to the boys' basketball practice one day and told them, and I was a seventh grader, that if I was on their team, I'd be starting for the A team. Thanks, Mr. LaPointe. That's awesome. That's really going to help me with my boyfriends when you sit here and tell them that a girl's going to start over them. So anyway, baseball was probably my natural sport. So when I stopped playing it in high school, it like broke my dad's heart. So then he had to sit and watch soccer, and he just really couldn't stand it. Well, then I decided as an adult to take part in a sport, triathlon. You know, called triathlon, swimming, biking, and running. And it has played in a tremendous role in my life, and I'll talk a great deal about it and one particular race specifically. Well, I was doing for the second time in my fourth half Ironman and my second time doing this Disney race in May of 2000. It was 2008. It was May of 2008. And, May of 2007. I was injured in 8. May of 2007. And I had a goal of 5.5 hours. I wanted to, which is a pretty decent amateur time for the half Ironman. And, I can't think of a more boring thing than coming to watch a triathlon, just because you only see the person, you know, like for a few minutes out of, well, depending on the length of the race, you could be there watching them for 12.5 hours if it's a full Ironman. So I can't imagine being a spectator. I've never gone to one as a spectator. I've only worked them or been in them. So I can't imagine that my dad was particularly excited to come down and visit me during the time where I had this race. Nonetheless, because it's also, mind you, like a 3 a.m. start time. Like, that's what we have to get up. We got to get there by 4. It's a pretty miserable thing on many levels, you know, if you're not really into it. So we get up and go to the race. He knew of my goal. And on this course, the running portion for the 13-mile run at the end, which is after a 56-mile bike, which is after a 1.2-mile swim, you had to do this loop 3 times. So I didn't you know, my dad knew this because he had been to the race actually the year before too, the same race. So he kind of knew how this one operated. He felt, in fact, he was probably pleased with himself that he knew how to, you know, how it all worked this second time around here. He was a pro, and he was sure to let me know that he was a pro. So Dad, I come around on the second time, and I was flying. Like, I knew it, man. I was on a mission to get this 5.5 hours, and I did that first lap so fast. I was totally on pace to do it. And so my dad, I see him, and he's got his cigarette. He's got his box of Winston cigarettes, and he's keeping track of my time, writing it on his cigarette package. So I come around for the second lap, and I pass him again, and he flashes me his cigarette package. He goes, "You're gonna do it! You're gonna do it!" Like, he's all excited. And again, I've not felt that energy from my parents. I can count it on one hand. Like really, they're kind of really just letting themselves be in the moment and feel proud and not be judgmental of it or whatever. I don't know what their hangups were that they never, I don't know. All I know is that absolutely was part of the reason that I almost got the time. It was like 5:30, I think it was 5:37, because I got these horrible calf cramps. The last 3 miles, I was running through such pain, and I actually had to stop and walk for like a little bit, and then I would run until I couldn't run, and I would walk, and then it was crazy. And so, in fact, as soon as I crossed the finish line, I had to go to the massage, the post-race massage, and they had like 4 people, both legs cramped up. And I'll tell you what, I remember watching like football players on TV cramp up, and truly, because I had never experienced it, not that I think any of those guys are wimps, but sometimes you don't know who's doing it for the show, right? You just don't know. And I'm like, there's no way it can be that painful. Holy crap. It was the most pain I'd ever felt in my life, and I have a very high threshold for pain. Both of my calves had these cramps, and they were stuffing bananas in my face, and they had like 3 or 4 people on, you know, 2 on each leg, and my dad is against the tree, like watching me in this agony, and I felt so badly because, you know, I was okay. I knew I was going to be okay, that I just had to let them, you know, rub through the pain, but oh my God. So I didn't quite make the 5:30, but it was only because I cramped up. I totally kicked ass in that race, and my dad's energy behind me, knowing that that had to have been just one of the least favorite memories of his, you know, of he and I, is it's just, it's my top memory of my dad. You know, also because it's one of the most recent. So, Dad, there you go. Extremely wordy, very verbose, some extra tangents, and 1 or 2 extra memories thrown in there. There's my top 5. Happy Father's Day. Your energy is so in all of this, Dad. You are, you and Mom, the first influences in all that I've created. Please don't ever forget that I wouldn't be here if not for everything exactly as it's been. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I love you very much. Happy Father's Day.